Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. My guest today is Michelle Sheen, who has a passion for stretching her mind and supporting others in creating and spreading their own brilliance. She loves talking about concepts relating to the human condition. She hopes to inspire and spread wonderfully off-center ideas through instinctive living and creating a community of inspired soulpreneurs through Content College. In this episode, Michelle and I discuss what it means to be remembered and ask, why do we seek to create a legacy? We explore Descartes' famous philosophy, dualism, and try to unpick his "I think, therefore I am" hypothesis, which was the bedrock of modern psychology. Hello, Michelle Sheen.
Hello, Dion. How are you?
I'm good, actually. I'm very good. I'm upbeat and positive. I was sitting on the loo, perhaps not a good starting point for this conversation, but one does reflect when one's in said position. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, today is a good day. And then I thought to myself, why is it a good day? And then I stopped myself asking myself why. Ah. And I decided to ask myself, what makes it a good day for you, Dion? And yeah, the simple answer is blue sky.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
It fucking is. Honest to God. I looked out the window this morning after having woken up only at 9 o'clock, I'll hasten to add, and thought, oh, yes, thank goodness.
So now, is it your mind that influenced your body or your body that influenced your mind?
Which I'm going to argue is distinct from my body.
I will give you that one, but how do they interact and which one affects which one?
We'll get to that, but I was wondering how we would contextualize this for people who were listening. And that was my contemplation also on the loo following my blue sky moment. I'm not sure I know the answer to how one contextualizes this, you know, because the question is, what is the purpose of this kind of reflection? What is the purpose of this kind of discussion? And by the way, everybody, this kind of discussion is essentially we're talking about dualism. And what is dualism and what does it mean? And is it a thing? Is it real? Is it something? So I don't know. What do you think? How should we contextualize it? Or have I said enough that provides the context?
I think it's a huge subject. And having been down a bit of a rabbit hole in the past couple of, I feel like I've been prepping for an exam and it's like all this information coming from all ways. And yeah, I don't feel prepared because there's just so much to the topic. I mean, there is Cartesian dualism, which I think is what we're basing our conversation in.
I think so, yeah.
And I don't think the conversation is about whether it's real, because there's aspects of it that's obviously real. It's why are we still having this conversation on dualism? Mm. And I think it's coming back to the "I think, therefore I am." Mm. Was Descartes was really the first modern philosopher because he questioned whether his questions were based in, you know, a good theory or not, is maybe not the question we're looking at.
You know, actually, I think that would be a good contextualization. The statement that Descartes purported, which is, "I think, therefore I am," that is the context. Mm. Is that true? Does that hold water? Or is there something else? From my perspective, let's call it over the journey of becoming more self-aware. Yeah. I think I originally held true to the version that Descartes suggests. I think, therefore I am. I really did. But I'm not entirely sure I understood it as Descartes suggested. Mm. I just understood it as my thoughts are my own, and my thoughts constitute who I am. That's how I thought of it, believed it to me. But since becoming aware, using that phrase again.
After that moment of awareness.
After that sudden moment of awareness, probably on the loo, seeing a blue sky, right? I've moved away from that and embraced that which you've been talking about, is the heart. Where's the heart in all of this? But going down the rabbit hole, I listened to that TED.
Yeah. Why There Is No Mind-Body Problem by Joe Cruz.
Yes, and that TEDx, we started discussing stuff online. Wrong place to discuss things, isn't it?
Well, yeah, usually. I mean, dualism is huge if we go into this whole thing, because it's black, white, right, wrong, yes, no. We've based so much of our reality in this dualistic view of things. You know, there is no gray. It must be black or white. It is right or wrong. There is no maybe or your opinion, which I think is not what Descartes intended with his version of dualism, maybe.
And I think that's because we want things easy and simple, and we want to compartmentalize, don't we, as people? We want to put ourselves and things and aspects of life into a box, and therefore then we can understand it. So if it's black and white, then I can understand it better.
But I don't like it.
No, I don't either. I don't at all.
Yeah.
And yet I found myself debating this dualism thing with you, pushing for a black and white view. I feel like I'm pushing for an answer which would suggest that I'm looking for A or B.
Yeah, so is he right or is he wrong? That kind of like was the part, you know, is it right or wrong? But what if there is no right or wrong? What if it is the fact that he didn't go with what all the other guys said? You know, he created something new for whichever reasons it was. And there are a lot of holes in whole theory. But he started this whole thing that we're still talking about. What are we now? 300 years, 400 years later, we're talking about him and his theory, whether it's right or wrong.
Imagine for a minute a world where your thought or theory from 300 years previously was still being discussed and debated, that you were therefore remembered. That is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very ego, what I've
very.
Said.
I've been contemplating this whole thing. What is the meaning of being remembered, though? Because, I mean, he doesn't know that we're talking about it. What impact does it have on him as he was then? It doesn't impact you whether you're remembered or not, because you're not here.
I find what you've just said so refreshing. Why is there a desire to be remembered when you won't be there, so it won't affect you?
Yeah.
I think our lives are built on this desire to be remembered. What is success or achievement if it's not something that you're remembered for?
See, you blow my mind just thinking about it in that way, because I've never considered that to be something of any importance to me personally. Mm. So it's quite a interesting thing to think about. It's the same thing as having other people's opinions affect your behavior or feelings, because that's really what it is. You are trying to make an impression on other people so that your memory stays with them. So you want to be important in their lives so that they remember you, so that you create a...
impact.
Impact, yeah. But it doesn't have any effect on you. Yet people base their lives around this whole thing of being remembered.
Think about it in the context of business. It's talked about at length, and I have done this, as many have. What is our legacy here? What are we leaving behind? And that is this very thing about we need to create some sense of remembering this. But your point is truthful. Why? When I'm not going to be here, the people who are going to create this business legacy aren't going to be here.
So therefore, it's all about the connection you have with the people around you and not about who you are. So our children are really our legacy, aren't they? So we are doing most of what we do to learn about being a, maybe not an example, but a version that we think would benefit them being, if that makes sense.
So a model.
But we can't do that if we're worried about how other people are going to perceive it, because then we're not true to becoming the best version of who we really want to be.
We're becoming a version of how we think we should be. And that's an argument that has been out there for years about finding your truth, living your purpose, living your passion, your bliss, as Chopra talks about and Joe, what's his name, talks about.
Campbell, yes.
Campbell.
Which brings us back to the kind of dualistic nature. So if we make it that we are separate from our bodies, because he does talk about the mind as also the soul, so it's something that lives on. So if we can separate these two.
Here's my thing with the dualism, and I've discussed this with myself out aloud for a number of days now.
Some intelligent conversation there.
Hugely intelligent. I mean, if people could only capture those thoughts, the world would be a better place.
Exactly.
So in that TED, Joe Cruz TED, he was essentially suggesting that empathy is the connecting force or connecting substance, or our ability to empathy solves the mind-body conundrum, the dualism conundrum.
Can I propose that it's something different than the empathy that we might be, that word might mean? So it's more of a understanding or a connection. He says it's your capacity to be in a resonance with someone else.
In my opinion, empathy isn't about understanding. It's being able to walk a mile in someone's shoes. That doesn't mean that I understand your experience. I see your experience. I see what you have done, what has happened for you and to you. For me, when it comes back to the TED talk and Mr. Joe's particular points,
he uses the word resonance, which I think is a great way to put it. So understanding it from your perception, but conceding that the other person's perception and mind is their own.
So we go with the premise that dualism suggests that the mind is separate from the body. And what I thought was fascinating was, if we go with that proposal and I die, then I can understand most religious teachings and non-religious teachings like reincarnation. I can understand that those teachings are true then, because what happens is my body disintegrates, but my soul, my mind, goes off to the pearly gates, according to Christianity, becomes a dog, according to reincarnation, and something else, according to Islam.
But it lives on.
But it lives on.
It carries on in an energetic kind of...
I get that, okay? If that happens, my soul, my mind, needs to be separate from my body. Otherwise, my mind and soul would degenerate as my body does. For this argument, dualism fits to some extent because they separate out. And if they were not two separate entities, how could they separate out?
And as with most theories, there are elements of
truth,
our truth, or whatever we identify with. Therefore, we grab onto them. But what I have a struggle with in dualism is that they say that the body can influence the mind, but that the mind doesn't influence the body. And I think we've proven that over the past 300, 400 years, that is not true. My mind can definitely influence my body.
Absolutely. And
I would actually say that this is maybe the human experience, is to find ways to get the mind and the body to integrate.
To work better together.
To work better together. We've got things like brain-heart coherence, where we try and connect these two elements, because they both have energy fields that they can create. There's a lot that the mind definitely can impact the physical world, and that's where dualism fails in there.
So here's my view on the value of the heart in this equation. And I see the heart as the bridge that allows the mind and soul and body to communicate, to connect, to be as one. However, I question whether the heart is a construct of the mind.
Oh no, I don't think it is. Well, so just going back to the connection point quickly, Descartes said that his thing was that the pineal gland, so the pineal gland is there, the third eye, is the place where the connection is between the mind and the body. But it's almost like he described it as a one-way system, because the body can infect the mind, but not the mind the body. It all works together though, doesn't it? Because at the end of the day, the heart is where the connection comes from with other beings around us.
I'm coming back to this, the mind soul understanding or construct. What if that connectivity isn't through the heart, as you and I both think it is? But what if it isn't? But it was through the mind constructing or creating this perception or connection or understanding or appreciation for another. Then you could argue that this dualism thing does hold water, because if you take the religious perspective of heart and love and connecting with people out of the equation completely, or the spiritual, let's call it the spiritual version of that, if you take that out completely, I suppose you could argue that the mind constructs the system or the network through which we connect, and I'm using the word empathy to describe that network, then in my mind, the argument for dualism is quite strong. And then I come back to this, I think, therefore I am, it holds water.
But I think what they're saying is the other way around. I think what dualism is saying is that the body affects the mind. So I have pain, therefore my mind is telling me that it's painful, and therefore I have a reaction to it. But my mind can't tell me that the sky is blue and
That I
this is
see
a
blue.
good thing, and this makes me happy. So that can't go that way. And I think that has been disproven. Broken heart syndrome, for example, would be a great example of that, where
Yes, the mind
something.
affects the body. Absolutely. I've experienced
Yeah.
that
Yeah. Yeah.
this year. Absolutely. Brokenhearted.
So
Oh.
people die of a broken heart
course,
physically.
yes,
There's
because the mind
a.
can influence. I'm moving on to Neubronner's dualism. I'm going to be remembered. Neubronner's dualism suggests
Yes.
that it is a two-way street.
Ah, but now we're not, it's not dualistic now. It's not separate.
They are separate. One's Fentersdorp and the other one's Otsuren.
Yeah, but they need to, because it's
Yeah,
this
but
driver car situation.
there's a single road from Fentersdorp to Otsuren, and there's another road from Otsuren to Fentersdorp.
See, but the Cartesian one says only from Ventersdorp to Oturin.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is Neubronner's dualism.
Okay. No, I agree. The mind and the body are separate in their functioning, but they definitely interact. There's a guy that showed that our words, our intentions, can change the molecular structure of water. And we are 60% water. So
And I'm with
even
you.
your vibes could influence my water molecules.
As a side, on the point of intentions, episode 65, The Power of Intention, explores how we can use our mind to influence what others see of us, how others perceive us.
Vibes, when you walk into a room and there's a funny vibe, I mean, it's not something that's physical, it's something that's
Metaphysical, it is.
metaphysical, but it's experienced by the body. If I talk about when I bungee jumped off bloody Blokrans, my hands start sweating because I'm scared of bloody heights. But that's a physic. There's no height around me that just appeared suddenly. But it's my thinking of that situation that creates a physical
Reaction.
reaction within my body. So although the two are separate, they are working together. They're one unit.
So I guess the question is where do we take this? What we don't have to take it anywhere, I suppose, but where do we take it if we wanted to take it somewhere?
It's another lesson in there aren't only two options. It's not just a right or a wrong. There are truths in certain aspects of this theory, and therefore we all need to create our own with input from different places. We can't just go, oh yes, this is what I believe, that's it, and no one can tell me anything. So it's taking the time a little bit sometimes to go down a rabbit hole and go like, oh, okay, and discuss it, because our perceptions of the same thing is so different. It's so necessary for us to spend a little bit of time, because we don't do that anymore. We're not sitting around fires and telling stories anymore. So where do we discuss things? On social media? And that's not the place where we grow our thinking, because that's what science is, though, isn't it? It's a theory, and then you try and prove that theory right, and then there's new information, and then we create a different, so paradigms shift, but only through
Discussion
people and discussion and
and curiosity, really.
exactly, yeah,
Just
but also finding resonance with the people, because it's so easy to go, oh yeah, no, I can't agree with you because you think this, therefore all your other thoughts are now not relevant to me, but I don't understand why you think this. So explain that to me, and then I get to understand you and find resonance with your other theories or your other thoughts. But we're so quick to go into this dualistic kind of right, wrong, good, bad, evil,
good.
God, devil,
But I
yeah.
come back to the reason why people want to do that is because people want something concrete to grasp onto. What we've discussed the last however many minutes is quite nebulous, really. And for a lot of people, even for myself, I feel, I even asked the question, where do we take this? So for myself, I feel I want to take this to something concrete. I think that's a very base human construct that we want to do that so that we can process it. If I'm being kind to us, it's about wanting to process this these nebulous concepts or practices or theories. If I'm being less kind, it's because we want to decompartmentalize and break it down and say, you're wrong, you're right.
And why though? Because of ego, I think.
Because of ego. Yes, I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
Because of ego. Yes.
Because if you're wrong, then I'm right, and that makes me better, and
That
therefore I
makes me
will be
better.
remembered. Yeah.
Or I will be remembered for how I made you feel, even though I made you feel less than me. Power, but I'll be remembered.
And then what? Is
Yeah,
my point.
that's a big thing, I think, Michelle, in this world, is this emphasis on legacy and this emphasis on being remembered. I connect that to what I said earlier, success and achievement, because when we achieve something, people notice it, so people remember me. If Dion's book doesn't become the world's bestseller, people aren't going to remember it, but that's it. The road I must travel in life is to be remembered. But I love what you've said in the sense that it is about coming back to our children. Yes, you want to potentially model the best versions of yourself so that they too could learn to be the best versions of themselves.
True authenticity. I mean,
Yes.
the fulfillment is such a big word, and we all have different ways to reaching it. For me, living on a tropical island with no one else knowing I'm there kind of thing sounds pretty good too.
Amen.
And then you wouldn't care whether someone remembers you or not, because you'll be living instead of portraying a life, and I think that's where,
I love that. That is brilliant. The contrast between living and portraying a life, I think that is beautifully put. I can remember back as in my early 20s and 30s and even younger that I too wanted to be on the island and be rather than portray a particular life.
And yet our minds tell us that that's not the way to go, in a way.
But you see, in the context of the world, we can't just be because you have to earn money, for example, at the base level. And how do you earn money? You have to be noticed. You have to be remembered. You have to have a degree of success, irrespective of whether you're in a job, in a large organization. How do you get promoted? You have to be noticed. How do you move on? You have to be remembered. How do you get more salary? You have to be noticed for what you've done. So that's about achievement and success. Equally, as a business, in order for us to make money as a business, you have to be noticed out there in the social media world.
Or do you? Or can you just impact? Can you just
But that's about being noticed.
by a specific person because you procreate you're making a connection and you're adding value and
And absolutely, I totally agree with that. And that's what I call being. But I find it hard to believe, probably because of the stuff I've gone through the last year and a half, that that is sufficient.
because that's what your mind, it's an analytical thing. It's like, okay, well, I have to earn. But people living on islands in or tropical islands in the South Pacific aren't necessarily rich or being remembered. They're just living, and some of them are really happy just doing that because that's the life that they know.
But the Western world and democracy suggests that is not the way to be. We have to, what did you call it? Being versus
Portraying a
portraying. We have to portray.
portray a life. Yeah,
And
I don't want to subscribe to
no,
that.
I don't either. Well, I certainly am saying that empathy solves this mind-body conundrum, dualism, and empathy in its wider sense, which you use the word
Resonance, finding resonance.
finding resonance with someone. So it's that connecting with someone. So then, how does what we've said relate to I think, therefore I am?
Well, that's what I can't really get either. I mean, I know what he means.
I think is the mind affects the body. I am is the body.
But it's
But
the other
then
way
that's the com
around.
but it's but yes, then it's the complete opposite way around to what he suggests dualism
So he's
is.
saying that I am, therefore I think.
Yes.
In dualism, I would say. So where does the I think, therefore I am come in then?
Yeah, but I think therefore I am sounds more sexy.
Does. Like it kind of makes him memorable, doesn't it?
Makes him memorable indeed. I just think we all know that our heart connects with others or allows us to connect with others, and it connects our mind and our body. And our heart is that energy, is that resonance, that ability to empathize, that ability to see.
I just think in society we've kind of neglected the heart aspect quite a lot because we're so driven by this version of success that we think we need to chase, where the heart creates a bit of a different way of thinking if you focus on the heart quite a bit more.
I think it creates a different way of being. And I think that's the distinction that you have made with me often. Oh, Michelle, this has been great. Thank you so much again. I really love talking to you.
Thanks.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Me too. I know a lot more about dualism now, that's for sure.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dion.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.